Morning again. As we turn our hearts to the readings we just heard and talk a little bit about what they mean, join me in prayer if you would. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we consider today the gifts that you have given to us to give to others, especially as we think of our resources and our finances, open our hearts to hear what you have to say, soften our hearts to do what you have to say. And above all, remind us of the greatest gift that you've given, the gift of your Son, Jesus, who has paid for all of our sins and who gives us a life that we cannot even begin to imagine, but that we have already begun to experience. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, today is our third installment of a four-week series here at Connect called Give, as we go through Believe together. A couple weeks ago, we talked about spiritual gifts, the gifts that God gives us to use for the sake of others. Last week, we talked about offering our time, and today's topic is giving my resources. So it focuses on a number of things, but especially kind of on the financial part of our stewardship to God. Ravi Zacharias, many of you have probably heard of him, has this quote where he says that money is congealed life. It is the combination of all of our time and effort. It's the wages of our work. Perhaps too often, it becomes the main focus of our hearts. There's a reason that Jesus famously said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So we're going to be talking about that just a little bit today. But before we do, some of our more alert worshipers here today might be thinking to themselves, hold on just a second, didn't we talk about this like not too long ago at all? In fact, if I remember, it was, you know, one of our least talented preachers preached a whole sermon on this. That was me, by the way. You'd be right. We talked about a lot of this a couple months ago when we talked about stewardship. So today we're going to take a little bit of a different tack, and basically I want to cover just two main points. The first one is that it is God's generosity that prompts our generosity, and secondly, that it is the willing heart of Jesus that makes our hearts willing to give. So let's start with the first one. God's generosity prompts our generosity. As we read through the chapter in Believe together this week, we encountered a number of different examples of people who gave to the Lord generously because of what the Lord had done for them. We learned that we give because he first gave to us. So our first example in the chapter of that was Jacob. After all of the hardships that he had been through, most of which, if not all, he had brought upon himself, Jacob came to recognize that God had shown him undeserved kindness. He had stolen his brother Esau's birthright. He had duped his aging father, and then he had fled for his life. Jacob was by no means a paragon of holiness, but of deceit. He was a liar and a thief. And yet God comes to him and shows him unflinching mercy. And so here's Jacob's response. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar, the stone that he had slept on the night before, this stone shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a full tenth." God's generosity prompted Jacob's generosity. And then we saw the same thing with the building of the tabernacle, the kind of the portable house of God that was built under Moses' direction in the desert. Moses and the whole nation of Israel gave their offerings for the tabernacle because God had delivered them out of slavery from Egypt. And he was already beginning to lead them to the land that he had promised to them. They saw that he was already beginning to fulfill the promises that he had made to Jacob, the promises that were first uttered to Abraham, and then to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to all of Israel after that, promises that God kept throughout the centuries. And so when the time did come and the people did enter the land and the kingdom of Israel was established, God soon led them to build a permanent house for him to dwell with them. And that was what we read about in our Old Testament lesson, as King David is praying as they prepare to build the temple. King David wouldn't build it. His son Solomon would. But David kind of helped collect some of the offerings. And we heard already how King David prayed there, "Who am I? And what is my people? That we should be able to thus offer willingly." David was overwhelmed by God's graciousness to him and to his people. He knew that they did not deserve at all the peace or the nation that the Lord had given to them. And God's generosity prompted their generosity, and they brought their gifts for the Lord's temple. David's question there before us really ought to be our question as well. Who am I? Who are we that God would do all of this for us? How has God been generous to you? How has he blessed you specifically in your own life? Now, as he did for Jacob, he has given you food to eat and clothing to wear, even in your worst times. Of course, he has blessed us all beyond measure through the death of his son and his resurrection, delivering us not from bondage to slavery in Egypt, but from bondage to slavery to sin and to death. In just a few minutes, our second graders will come forward and they have a couple songs to share with us, and then after that, they will be given their Bibles. Like them, each one of us has been given the gift of God's Word, just like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were. We've been given the promises of God, promises fulfilled for us through Jesus Christ. God's generosity prompts our generosity. We give because he first gave to us. And as we give, kind of a second part of that, we recognize that what we give all comes from him. We realize that the very content of our offering first came directly from God. So Jacob acknowledged this, as we already saw, when he says, "Of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you." Jacob knew that everything he had came directly from God, and so he promised to give a tenth of everything, or a tithe, back to God. Now, honestly, when you recognize that everything comes from God, and you say, "I'll give a tenth of it back to you," doesn't Jacob, in some ways sound a little cheap here? I mean, if you think about it, it kind of is. But in Jacob's defense, this was, in the ancient world, a very common practice, kind of in the political sphere. You would give a tenth of everything you had to your sovereign to demonstrate their lordship over you. And so by doing this, Jacob was not only recognizing that everything he had came from God, he was demonstrating his full and complete submission to the Lord's reign in his life and over everything that he had. And so we see this same type of faith demonstrated by David as he's praying to God about the temple. "All things come from you," he says, "and of your own have we given you. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own." So how about you? Do you realize that literally everything you have, comes from God? Every second of every day is his gift to you. Every talent and ability that you possess is his. All of your money, all of your life belongs to him. Sometimes we trick ourselves into thinking that we worked really hard for our money, and therefore it is ours to do with whatever we please. In reality, every last bit of it belongs to the God who gave it to us in the first place. He desires for us to use it for him and to gladly offer our resources up to him. In fact, that's our key idea for this week from Believe. Let's read this together. I give my resources to fulfill God's purposes. But God doesn't want us to just give in any old way. Let me share with you a few more verses from our chapter this week and kind of see if you can pick out what I mean. So from Moses, again with the tabernacle, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering. Another one from David. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. And from Jesus, from our gospel lesson, speaking of the poor widow who brought her offering to the temple, she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. And then from St. Paul in our epistle lesson, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So what's the common denominator here out of all of these? Well, it's the second point that I said I wanted to talk about today. It's the idea of having willing hearts. Each one of these examples shows us that when God calls us to give our resources to him, he wants us to do so willingly and cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, perhaps you might not think of that widow as particularly cheerful. You might even think of her as a foolish giver. What's she going to live on? I mean, Jesus himself says that she has nothing left. But that widow trusted that the Lord would take care of her, just like he had taken care of widows in the past. She trusted that her oil would not run dry. She trusted that her flour would continue to be supplied somehow by the very hand of God. She gave willingly and cheerfully because she gave trustingly. So how about your offerings? When you put your offering in the basket, do you give trustingly? Do you give cheerfully? Do you give willingly? If you don't, or if you have some trouble with that, you might be wondering, how can you make an unwilling heart willing? Well, the bad news, followed immediately by the good news, is you can't, but God can. So ask him to do it. Pray for the gift of generosity, for the softening of your heart. I can tell you from personal experience in my own life, that's a prayer that God is eager to answer. Read what the Lord says about giving. If you haven't read this week's chapter, go back and look at it. Spend some time there. You'll see that when the Lord asks you to give your resources, what he's really asking you to give is your heart. Today we have the privilege of recognizing a man who has given his heart to the Lord in very real and meaningful ways. Briefly, at the end of this service, we're going to have just a little way to recognize him, and a much grander way to do it this afternoon with the concert. But we will be recognizing Dave Sievert for his 20 years of service to St. Lawrence. So I wanted to make him stand up, and we thought we'd put a picture up instead. You know, talk about a willing heart. Dave is always eager to serve, always giving his time to other people, to students, to those who need encouragement. He's a generous man as well. I didn't ask his permission to share specific ways that I have seen his generosity in his life, so I won't. But I will say that I have seen time and time again that Dave's heart and Dave's whole life belong to God. Dave belongs to God because his Savior and our Savior is the most generous and the most willing of all. Because of what Jesus has done, all of us belong to God. Jesus saw the spiritual poverty, depravity of our hearts, and he willingly chose to redeem us, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death, that we may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, serve him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. Paul says in Romans, the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For what? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so like Jacob, we acknowledge his sovereignty over our lives. We allow the willing heart of Jesus to inspire our hearts. We allow his giving everything for us to inspire us to give our resources to him. So God be with us as we do that, that both our treasure and our hearts may be with him. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, we'll be wrapping up our Give series here as we talk about sharing my faith. So I would encourage you to join us for that. Until then, may the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in and through Christ Jesus our Lord, now and forever. Amen.